perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Roy Carter.
A Viking is in the time.
He gets inside, well inside.
In any way that you can see a sweeping grin. Listening to the skin, you're not really behind the chair.
Mark Cochin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And, well, we just did 20 minutes of the best podcast that nobody's ever going to hear.
We did indeed. But, you know, to recap some of the highlights, that was a very strange game.
Yes, it was. I think I used the phrase of glorified soccer work, except unlike when most suburban football clubs that I played with, when it came to the goal-kicking portion, everything was going in. Literally every shot was going in, and it, in a season that has been painful and frustrating, and, you know, we've lost probably several games due to poor goal kicking, we couldn't miss.
No. So, put it out, that was the second, thanks to Lee to Range the Roach from pre on this, but that was the second best Richmond goal kicking effort of all time.
Yeah, highest score an AFL team has ever kicked from that many shots at goal. Like, it was just...
This is a team who's in the bottom three for goal kicking this year. It was like an explosion of retributive karma on the goal kicking. And, you know, we did play well. Like, you know, we had 10 more inside 50s, 100 more possessions. I think it was 20 more contested possessions. Like, you know, there was, you know, obviously dominating the run of play, but, yeah, it was everything that could go right did go right, and it was just, I was laughing out loud at some stages. And, you know, nothing highlights that better than the Townsend performance.
Now, well, the Townsend performance, I think, is the obvious highlight of that. But when I really laughed out loud was when Rance steered his shot for goal through. I just thought, oh, man, it's our day.
Yeah, and you knew it was going in, too.
Absolutely.
But, like, the Townsend performance, let's just reflect on this. And, by the way, you know, I had an intro to this show had we lost, and it would have started somewhere along the lines of what I'm about to say, except if you replaced everything with an antonym. And that's Damien Hardwick is an excellent football coach. The selection of Townsend was in the best interest, long-term interest of Richmond, and it reflects his forward-thinking, progressive view of AFL football. But it turned out to be quite a good selection. But, Nick, it came from nowhere. You know, he kicked four goals in 32 games previously. You know, some talk he kicked a few goals in the VFL. Well, he had, but only recently. He was averaging less than a goal a game in the VFL. And there was a nice guy on pre who posted something about, who's obviously a mate of his, and posted a little summary of the things he'd been told on to work on to get better in football, which was to work on his attacking skills and work on his kicking his disposal quality when he's fatigued. Which, you know, to anyone who's played football is like being told you need to get taller and faster. Like, they're very hard things to do.
Be less rubbish.
Yes. And Dermy, bless his heart, also posted something about him when he worked with him in GWS. He said he was a fantastic bloke, but he just wasn't talented enough. And then he's gone and pulled out this beautiful game. Now, you know, there were a few, like, some of his goals were, you know, that he got a 50 that from Cochin. He got one. His first goal probably came because he was getting less than zero respect from Fremantle. He got one where there was a play on after a free kick.
Everyone stopped.
Yeah. Everyone stopped. But there were also some moments, you know, he took a mark on his knees and converted from 50. There was one contest where he brought the ball to ground and hand passed off to a teammate that led to a goal. Like, there was moments of genuine quality that if Josh Caddy had done, we would have said, wow, that's why we pay him all that money.
I know. And he fitted quite well with Jack as well. Like, it felt like a pretty coherent forward line. I've talked about how I like how Caddy positions his body to screen for Jack sometimes. But I think Townsend did a bit of that. And there was players. Jack would lead out and there'd be a player behind him in case the ball went over the back, people getting front and centre. Yeah, it was it was one of those days you just, you had to laugh because they don't come along all that often. But it was a good team playing well against a team that after a first quarter waving the flag, they weren't at full intensity.
No, I mean, Fife threatened to carry his other 21 deadweight teammates over the line in the first quarter, but, you know, by the end of the game, he clearly, as anyone had seen the highlights of him walking, turning his back to Dusty running in and kicking a soft goal, that, you know, he decided he'd had enough and he wasn't trying anymore. So, yeah, look, it was, and, you know, good teams beat up on bad teams. And, you know, we finally had one of those games, and it was great. And, you know, a few other things. You know, Lambert had his career best game, according to the somewhat opaque AFL rankings. Now, that might have had something to do with his three goals, but, you know, it was a nice reward for someone who's had a great, great season, improving in the second half, great run of form, and has signed a new contract.
Oh, that's really good news. And it's been funny. I sort of, just for, when I've got a spare moment, sometimes I do think about, which Richmond players are playing for their career. And he was certainly on my list at the start of this year. And frankly, Townsend was on that.
Was he on the list, or was he on the it's too late list?
Lambert was genuinely 50-50, but yeah, he's gone from that to, you know, he'd be looking at probably finishing him around 10th or 12th in our best and fairest, and that's a really good effort.
And if I was Townsend's manager, I'd be stop faxing CVs to Aubrey Tigers and actually go back into the Richmond.
And look, it was despite a game where probably Dusty's a decent chance to poll well again. It was those second tier players were a big part of the story. That Prestia's had a month of good form. Nanx had a career high in disposals with 26. Broad's played well. Greg Griggs had a good game while blazing a few kicks, but sort of another nice part of the midfield story was Jack Graham's debut.
Yeah, the thing that, I mean, we expected it. He led the team in tackles and pressure acts, which is pretty damn impressive for a guy who played less than 70% gain time. He played less than any other Richmond player. But one thing I really liked, which I wasn't expecting, was I thought his disposal was quality.
Because that was the question. People have asked, how does a guy who looked like this after an injury-interrupted year drop to 52 in the draft? Well, there were questions about his kicking along with some soft tissue injuries. But, yeah, I wasn't worried about his kicking at all on that effort.
No, and obviously it's small sample size, one game.
Only had a few kicks.
But it definitely cemented his status as a cult figure amongst Richmond people. And I liked your comparison of him. I think maybe the expectations are getting a bit too high too early. But I think, he might develop into a Brad Sewell type, you were saying.
Yeah, look, the type of guy who has a 10-year career, your own supporters love him, perhaps doesn't get much publicity from the broader football media, but, yeah, a very solid part of a good team.
Yeah. Super. I love the way he goes about it. Going back to Prestia, he mentioned briefly, you can pick holes in his game. There were a few obvious fumbles and a few obvious shank kicks. But if you look at his form line, when he was playing well for the Suns, he was always above 10 contested possessions a game. He was usually 12, 13. For the first time in a Richmond career, he's had three consecutive games of above 10 contested possessions. And you can clearly see he's establishing a higher form line than he was in earlier in the year.
No, it's very encouraging. I'd like him to get a little bit cleaner, but yeah, he's moving better. He's working both ways. Yeah, it's good to see. Speaking of guys who are stringing together some form, I've really liked Flossie's game. The difference between his frankly marginal contributions as a forward at the start of the year to the compared with the last 6 weeks, where he's in career best form, averaging 20 disposals a game, 8 intercept disposals a game, which is would be top 5 for the AFL if he did that for a whole season. He's playing really well.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's if you take out the first bit of the year where he, you know, the failed forward experiment, his plateau, the level he's playing at the moment in the back line is his career best play. So, you know, it's exciting to see. And, you know, he's perhaps finally getting as good as his internet reputation. Oleg Markov, another backman, posted something on Twitter showing his video in a experimental movement for Richmond Tiger Talk. I was actually a bit skeptical. Like, I love Oleg long term, but I thought, like, his last few senior games have been fairly mediocre. I thought he was a 2018 player, frankly. I really like the run and carry he gave us.
I know, because he's a fantastic athlete. And like in a team where we've got a number of genuinely quick players, not surprisingly, having Olympian bloodlines, but he's really fast. The question for me has been his physicality at the ball, and I thought he was better at that.
Nice contestant, Mark.
Yeah, now, Dylan, it was a very solid day.
Now, Dylan Grimes only got didn't have his best game. I mean, he's been in superb form. He had a good game, but in his 100th game. But that one-handed mark he took, I thought that was illustrative of a man who is walking on top of the water right now in his football.
Yeah, him, Asprey, and McIntosh as well, really benefiting from consistent health, good health, consistent time, both as a unit. Playing seniors, yeah, they're going well.
Nick, I love Dan Butler. And, you know, he had a great game, 3 goals, 17 possessions. It was nice to see a little bit of return to form after a disappointing Geelong game. And he resigned as well.
Yeah, no, another 2 years, which I'm very happy about. And, yeah, again, talk about guys who are playing for his career. He was a marginal VFL player halfway through last season, and he's really turned it around. It's good to see. Of the small forwards, I mean, we talk about them a lot with good reason, but yeah, George Costagna was pretty much the only guy I thought who missed out on an otherwise bonanza of a day.
He did have his moments, like he set up a few nice goals, but yeah, it's a too bad guy. He didn't have the redemptive game that he needed after the Geelong effort. I still think, like, there's no substitute. You know, Richmond has to play fast. We've got to play on the great, the break. You know, like, it's far more important to be quick than it is to crack heads. You know, you want to get in another AFL player's head, especially in a final. You know, unless you're Shane Mummy, you're not going to intimidate them with physical pressure. You've got to tackle them. You've got to make them look stupid. You've got to smother their kicks. And that's why I like Jason / George. And, you know, he's a conundrum. And, you know, there is the question is, do you bring in Shai Bolton to give him a crack? Because he will bring the pressure as well. But I can see why the coaches persist with him, because he does bring that athleticism.
I know. And the thought has really crossed my mind, because Shai's had a really good game for the VFL. Although, you know, everyone bows down to Sammy Lloyd having a truly monstrous game, but I think you're right. I think you've got before round one, you know, I was advocating, look, you've got to play all three small forwards, because what's worked in the preseason has been this pace and this pressure, and yeah, it's the calling mark for the team. I think you've just got to keep doubling down.
Yeah, and you know, jumping ahead for a selection for the first final. When Caddy's back, I don't think you can play Caddy and Townsend, even though... Let's presume that Townsend is okay next week, and so he's got 2 weeks where, you know, he deserves selection, but it just slows us down a lot. Now, Townsend might be hard as a cat's head and tackles like a beast in a phone booth, but he's not going to run people down, and I think we have to do that to sustain forward pressure.
Yeah, and the question would be how Graham's going as well. I think it's fair to be concerned about him in his first season. Already, he's been injured twice this year already. So yeah, listen, the 22 is far from set in stone.
Yeah, I have more faith that Graham will be able to sustainably get high tackle and high pressure numbers than I have faith that Townsend will be consistently able to kick more than one goal a game.
Mm. Yeah, good point.
Thank you, Captain Obvious. Yeah.
Are you going to miss Subiaco?
A little bit, because we keep winning there. And, you know, hats off to the Freo fans for hanging around to the, you know, large
number. I would have left.
Yeah, and they really only booed one of their players, ironically cheered one of their players, McCarthy. You know, I do have a bit of time for Freo supporters because I recognise them as fellow sufferers. So, yeah, a little bit.
Anyone else from the game you want to talk about?
No, just thoroughly enjoyable. Just so nice to watch the second half and not be stressed all the time.
I know. It was great. More, please. So, the VFL had a nice win as well. We've already mentioned Sammy Lloyd's monstrous game, but Anthony Miles also above 40 disposals. Two of them virtually had their own football, but it was a good day. Mentioned Shai Bolton, 19 disposals, kicked a couple of goals. I think it's too out there to start experimenting with it now. But I do think the coaches have been tempted by Callum Moore's form, because he's 6 foot four. He runs like the wind. Like he'd stand up in a foot race with pretty much anybody in the team. His kicking is, to put a nice phrase on it, improving. But you know, he's had his career best game on the weekend, and I'm watching with interest.
And if you play him, you don't lose the speed and the pressure, hopefully.
No, you don't. But he can. They've had him for the past month. They've had him taking a few hit outs where he's not completely hopeless, because he's got a mammoth vertical leap. And I'm really pleased how he's come on, and the VFL as a whole. I think it's good having both teams in the finals, and you know, it's also partly a function that our injury list is now down to two names.
Well, it's genuinely important too, because we've got a bye and we've got a couple of interesting pieces in the VFL that you want to get fit. So there's a genuine immediate benefit.
I know. Look, Reece Conker, for me, would have had to come back with a fantastic game to come into consideration, and that you know, he was pretty rusty. You know.
I feel a bit.
Maybe he can get better, but
I think Griffo, both him and Griffo, just started their run a bit too late. I do feel for Lloyd, and you know, I'm more sympathetic to Lloyd than I think you are, if it's fair to say. But the last 50 games of his career happened, and as good as his VFL form happened, you got the same issue you do with playing Caddy and Townsend. That if you bring him in for George, which you know, prima facie, his form is much better and deserves to be picked, but he just structurally he changes the team and how they play.
You're sacrificing a fair bit of athleticism.
Listen to us, we've just become speed addicts anyway, sorry.
I know, it's great. And look, there is, you know, we've talked as well, you know, it's speed up forward, and it's a really tall back line, and but it's a back line that can really run and cover a lot of territory, and we've said that about Nathan Broad. But Ryan Garthwaite down in the VFL also apparently has just monstrous GPS numbers, and that's a really important part of sort of maintaining your structure, is you know, when the other team breaks, that you can get back defensively, and watching with interest.
And by the way, Aspirin and Rance aren't going to be superhuman and play every single game of the year or for the rest of their careers.
No. I'm keeping an eye on Jackson Trengrove, would you believe?
Hello, you fallen.
Yeah, I know. Fills a role. We'll talk about it on a future show. So, the equation is reasonably simple. I think another friend of the podcast pointed out that it's roughly speaking the combined margin of the GWS for the GWS Geelong game and our game is about 5 goals for us to make up the percentage to GWS. Geelong had one draw, so percentage not a question then. But in terms of us potentially finishing third, that for me is the ideal outcome, is Geelong winning, we win, we finish third, Geelong at the MCG.
Yeah, clear.
I'd love another crack.
Hands down. And the problem is GWS, as you described last week, they're the Death Star fully functioning. I'd actually rather now go to Adelaide. I fear the more likely result is GWS beat Geelong down there, and then we have to play them and play the AFL's pet team in round one, and which will bring out all my tinfoil conspiracy theories.
Look, the only upside to it is if you work off the fact that, that home ground advantage is a big part of it, is being able to pressure the umpire with crowd noise. I'm not afraid of our ability to match GWS for crowd noise up in Sydney.
Yeah, and even if the supporter base is 50-50, our supporters will actually care. And, you know, the sound of the GWS supporters will be slightly muffled because they'll be in the official AFL box, so you won't be able to hear them as well. Tinfoil hat time. St Kilda.
Yeah, look, they clearly stitched us up like nobody's business six weeks ago.
I'm hanging on to the rumour that I heard that we had a bout of food poisoning or flu going through the team just before the game. Call it desperate, but I'm hanging on to it.
And that they're an even worse goal-kicking team than us. They kicked everything last time. They're a really solid football team. If they'd kicked better across the season, maybe they would be playing finals, but, you know, odds are that by the time of first bounce on Sunday, hopefully Essendon are miles in front and, you know, they're playing for nothing other than pride and to pay tribute to Nick Riewoldt, because I really would like I'd much prefer to finish top four rather than take our chances in the knockout round. But, yeah, we should win. We're sort of comfortable 3-goal favourites, and notwithstanding the result last time, we've consistently been a better team.
Yeah, I would take that three. I would take that line as it is. And, you know, unscientific body language doctor who watched the end of the last game is that they had a big farewell for Roo in his last home game. You know, how many times emotionally can you get up for the same thing? So I don't know. I'm less worried about the Roo retirement than I was. I think we'll do them. And, I'm looking forward to it. But you know, if we don't, I want to play the G at the first final. You know, if we played Melbourne, it'd be a great occasion. You know, I'd get into it. I think we'd beat Melbourne. God, I've been wrong about that before. Thought we'd be North too. But, you know, I could live with finishing fifth. At least I won't have the inner ball of anger that I will with GWS. But what I really want, as you pointed out, is Geelong at the MCG, 95,000, 2-3. Now, Nick, before we wrap up, we deliberately left this to the very end, but the Dusty contract talks, is become
endless.
Session.
Endless.
The media, and it's just like, let's take prima facie the very commonly reported thing that North are offering 1.5 over 7 years.
10. It works out over $10 million over 7 years.
Exactly. Now,
they're eye-watering sums of money.
They are. And it's an extraordinary thing, by the way, for North to be doing, because they're not one player away. You very rarely, AFL is not, it's rarely a sport where you're one player away, but they're not. You know, for St Kilda or, you know, Melbourne or someone like that who had a really good young core, or even Carlton, God forbid, it makes a little bit of sense. But it makes no sense for North, who were at the start of their rebuild, not halfway through it.
No.
And they're making a player who goes to holiday to Colombia with Dane Swan and who hates media, they're making him the face of the franchise. And from the other side, from Dusty, you know, if the difference is 1.2 to 1.5, you know, over 7, that's $10 million. So I can see why he makes a decision.
That's a lot of money. Yeah.
But, you know,
You're taking Dusty out of a familiar environment. Well, you know, or reports he's grown up quite a bit, but it's a lot of money. It's a lot of risk.
And Dusty Spiv manager sends him off to the, you know, those shopping centre signings. Well, I tell you what, people don't queue up to get North Melbourne. Well, you know, five people.
No.
But you don't get queues of hundreds of people to get North Melbourne player signatures. Like, if he goes, I mean, I can see why you do it, because it makes Ralph Carr look good, because it's a really big headline figure. But it's a path to irrelevancy, because North are not going to be a good team. They're not a popular team either.
He would be enough to cement, you know, and they get a few other players in. They've got a lot of cap room because they don't have a lot of really exciting players to re-sign. So,
yeah,
and new acquisitions are going to be hard if you're paying the one player that much money.
Yeah, so I do think North have been so, but I also, the level of, because Ralph Carr is driving this behind the scenes.
Mm.
You know, he's not doing media, but he's clearly leaking to journalists. And Dusty's chosen to.
He doesn't have many football clients. So I think he's loving the attention.
He is, and it's helped me. I mean, I love Dusty. I love watching him play. But this is getting a bit too much. The story shouldn't be about football. We're coming into a final series. We're playing. The highest we've finished in 20 years.
And he's talked about wanting to make a decision the first week of the finals. Like, God, imagine. Announcing that he's not going to re-sign, then he wins the Brownlow, and we go on a long finals run. That's not going to be awkward or weird at all.
Mm. Yeah, so
I'm so ready for this to not talk or think about this again.
Exactly. But the important thing is football, and we're playing really well, and the Saints game is going to be lots of fun, because I think we're going to win, and we're going to finish third, which is so much better than I expected this season to be.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.